Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Hello, Shelley, and welcome to today's podcast. So, my first question is, can an employer contribute to an HRA?
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me again today. An HRA is a health reimbursement arrangement, and it is employer dollars only. So no, an employee cannot contribute to an HRA.
Can you talk a bit about the National Medical Support Order that an employer may receive about an employee? What should an employer do?
So the National Medical Support Order is something that comes out from, could be a state government, it could be a federal government, local agencies, but it is a requirement of the employer to review the form, to complete it, and to return it in the proper allotted amount of time. For some it's 20 days, for some it's 30 days, it will say in the form, but it asks for information and it is something that the employer must do. So generally it's saying that, you know, John Doe has a child and needs to provide medical coverage for that child. It may also include dental, vision, and anything else that the employer has, but the employer is required to complete it, is required to do what the letter says. If there are concerns, they need to call the place that issued the letter and ask any questions, but otherwise get that returned in that timely fashion.
Many groups are using level funding for their group health insurance. Since level funding is a self-insured plan, is the carrier required to offer mini COBRA or state continuation?
So it's a question that's coming up a lot more now, and it has in the past again. When we're talking about level funding or self-funding, we're talking about an employer that is providing those coverages on their own. As such, they are not subject to state rules. So when we talk about mini COBRA or a state continuation plan, we are talking about a rule that the state made up about the continuation. Some states don't have mini COBRA or state continuation, others do. But when we're talking about a level funded / self-funded plan, they are not subject to those state rules. Now, you need to look at the particular carrier that you are insured with, because some of the carriers that offer level funding have agreed to allow mini COBRA or state continuation participants to be on their plan. Others have said, we are not going to do that. So I will say generally, no, a level funded or self-funded plan is not subject to state continuation, but some carriers do allow it.
An employee is hurt at work before satisfying their waiting period. Can the employee still join the benefit plan at the end of their waiting period?
That's a good question, and it's one that seems to come up often. I would generally say yes. However, I would first encourage that employer to take a look at, what do they have in writing? Do they have a wrap document? Do they have a summary plan description? What about an employee handbook? What information is included in there about the waiting period? But you also have to remember that waiting period counts all of the calendar days. So if an employer is enforcing a 90-day waiting period, that's 90 calendar days. It doesn't say anything about the employee being actively at work. So we have an employee that was hurt at work or hurt at home. They are still an employee. If there is a severing of that employer-employee relationship, then obviously there's no more waiting period. You don't have to worry about it. But just because that employee is out because they're ill, they're on leave, that still counts toward their 90 days, and they would still be eligible for the benefits.
Are owners counted as employees when determining if the employer is an ALE, applicable large employer?
The answer is no. If you are a sole proprietor, a subchapter S-Corp owner, a 2% or more owner in that S-Corp, if you are a part of an LLP, a limited liability partnership, or an LLC, a limited liability corporation, all of those are not considered as employees. They are owners. So they are not counted as employees when you're determining, is the employer 50 or more, or are they under 50? And also independent contractors, those people who are paid by a 1099, they are not employees either.
An employer hires an employee. The employee prefers to keep their own insurance that they obtained from either the state-based exchange or healthcare.gov. Is this permitted?
Yes, it is. The employer, if you are talking about an employer that is an ALE, an applicable large employer with 50 or more, that employer is required to offer coverage that is minimum essential, minimum value, and affordable to that employee. The employee can choose to enroll in that plan, to decide they want to be covered under the spouse's plan, or they could choose to continue their individual coverage. Remember that groups that are under 50 are not required to offer coverage. They are not subject to those ACA rules, and they're not subject to a penalty. The final thing you have to think about with all of this is an individual may have their own individual policy direct from a carrier or through a state-based plan or healthcare.gov. If they are getting a subsidy, then they need to report that they are now employed and the employer is offering coverage, and that may reduce or eliminate the subsidy that that person is getting. So the individual is allowed to choose wherever they want the coverage, but depending on if they are getting help in the form of a subsidy or tax credit, they may not be able to get that any longer.
Now, Shelley, Company A has 26 employees. Company B has 57 employees. Both are owned by the same person. Do both companies have to offer coverage? And if yes, does the coverage need to be affordable?
So this is something we've talked about many times, and because we're entering into the fourth quarter and we've got a lot of this going on, when both companies are owned by the same person, we would say in most cases that that is a control group, so both of the companies would be added together. So you take the employees of both. We definitely know that we have over 50 because Company B has over 50. So that means Company A, even though they have less than 50, they must provide coverage that is minimum essential, minimum value, and affordable, or face a penalty for failure to do that. I would certainly say that employers, owners, if you're not sure, consult with your accountant or your attorney to make sure that you are, in fact, a control group before you move forward with that.
An employer has 23 total employees, but five of them are only part-time. Would Medicare be the primary or secondary payer for this employer group?
So this is something that trips up employer groups. When you are counting for Medicare to determine if Medicare is the primary or secondary payer, you are counting all of the heads or belly buttons, as we like to talk about in the industry. So it doesn't matter whether a part-time person works an hour a week or 29 hours a week, or is the full-time person 30 hours, 25 hours. You are counting every head or every belly button. And if you have 20 employees for 20 calendar weeks in either the current year or the preceding year, then you must be 20 or more, where Medicare would be the secondary payer.
So, Shelley, for our final question, can you tell us about the Philadelphia commuter benefit that is effective on January 1st, 2023?
It's actually effective December 31st of 2022, just a little bit of a difference there. But the commuter benefit says that if you are an individual, a partnership, an association, a corporation, or any other entity So this would include nonprofits as well. So basically, if you are a company and you have 50 or more covered employees, so we're talking again about counting belly buttons or counting heads, then you need to offer this. We are excluding government employees in all of this. So if you have government employees, then they are not employees that are a part of this. Everyone else is. An employee is someone who's worked 30 hours per week within the geographic boundaries of Philadelphia for the same employer for the last 12 months. So those are the things that people get hung up on the most, is who's required, how are you counting, and what employees are eligible for this. So you could be a company that's located in New York City or Pittsburgh or Wilmington, Delaware. But if you have employees that are in that geographic area of Philadelphia, then you do need to offer this commuter benefit by the end of 2022. You have to provide a token, a fare, for mass transit. Also, there is qualified bicycle expense that is allowed. So there are some people who still choose to have a bicycle to ride it to work. You can allow for the purchase and the upkeep and the storage of that bicycle up to $20 a month for that person. The employer can do this via a pre-tax benefit. So we have a transportation benefit that's out there. If you're not sure if you have it or you need it, you should consult with your third-party administrator that does those Section 125 flexible spending type of things for you to see if you need to add to your transportation benefit or make a clarification that you're offering this for Philly. You can also offer an employer-paid benefit, like you may buy a mass transit card for someone to be able to get back and forth. And the employer can also do a combination of the two. So this isn't really anything new as far as commuter transportation benefits go. There's a lot of areas that have one. And from the federal level, you are allowed to have it and be deducted as a pre-tax benefit. But this is a specific new law for Philadelphia only that goes into effect December 31st of 2022.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.